Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Now.
Welcome back, everyone. Yeah.
Hi.
So hey. I just want you to know that this week it's time to take a trip to the land of soft acoustic, of banjos, slide guitars, and folksy down-home songs about Ma and Pa back home. That's right, everyone. It's the lands where the bluegrass grows and the dark spice brown whiskey flows. The Netherlands.
Wait, what? And welcome to another folksy episode of 12 Points from America, the Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, the country with a concept of a plan. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Real quick, if you're in America, please vote, for the love of God.
Yeah, seriously. If you're not, and you have American friends, make sure that they vote, as long as they are, you know, over the age of 18. Or make sure they're registered, honestly. Mm. Like, we realize that here in Minnesota, like, we are so dang lucky. We can register same day. Like, I actually work at a polling place the day of the elections. It is so easy to register in Minnesota. Not every state has that. If you're not sure also, if you're registered or not, check, for the love of God.
Yeah, and internationally, I'd like other countries to start making fun of us more for not just having automatic registration. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah, let us have it.
Start. I know that you guys love making fun of America to begin with for trivial reasons, but start making fun of us for the important reasons.
Yes.
You think people are making fun of us for important reasons? You need to get abroad more often.
Banged the couch. Anyway, Sam, hit him with the socials.
All right. Well, you can find us on social media, that wonderful tool of nothing, where nothing is negative.
Oh God. No, just anyway, email
us. Yeah, just find us. 12 Points USA on all the social media outlets you could probably think of. And you can just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can find some of our merchandise over on our Redbubble page, or you can also support us via a one-off contribution on our Ko-fi, that's Ko-fi account, or a monthly contribution on our Patreon. And whether you support us financially or not, we love you and appreciate you either way, but our Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes, and just another way to get in touch with us. Yeah, it's election season, y'all. We have another, you know, month and a half of this.
Oh,
it sucks.
A month.
Until we never have it again.
Never. Oh, God.
Oh. I guess when you put it that way. Anyway. Side note, in addition to voting, please don't be fascist. Let's see. Eurovision. It's a Eurovision show, which is why I want to note that Danny is in King Lear, and it's great. And let's see what else.
Yes. Again, if you are in the Minnesota area and you are interested in watching some kick-ass theater, go support our buddy Danny in King Lear and see the theaters around.
There's a France in there.
That's right. Okay. There's a France. And you know what else has a France in it?
Junior Eurovision.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure does. Can't believe that the, as you so elegantly put it, Eric, that France has spit out yet another kid. Is this Titouan? I can only assume. With a song that is basically, it's called Comme Ci, Comme Ça. I just hate that it's called that. Because it seems like every single French song that is sent to Eurovision has to have the lyric Comme Ci, Comme Ça in there. I wish I could tell France to do better, but they are doing just fine.
Yeah. Like,
France, I just want to say, stop it.
They're not gonna.
No.
You guys have already won so many times with this. I don't know. Try something different.
I'm waiting for France at Eurovision to have their My Lovely Horse moment.
Excuse me?
It's just, okay. Have you ever seen the episode of Father Ted with My Lovely Horse?
No.
Okay. So,
Really for the Brits out there. Okay.
Oh, I mean, you have to. This is a seminal moment in Eurovision pop culture. So this was made during that epic in the mid to late 90s where Ireland just kept winning Eurovision. And the joke was, they're going to send a crap song so they don't have to host it, so they won't bankrupt RTE. So Father Ted and his cronies on the, you know, on the little craggy island come up with this song called My Lovely Horse. And they go to Eurovision, and it's a disaster, and it's hilarious. And they have a dream sequence with My Lovely Horse, and it's amazing. And anyway, yes, you at home probably know this bit. If you don't, go and find it.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. Great. It's worth it. But yes, I'm waiting for France to have their My Lovely Horse moment with Junior, even though they don't have to host it when they win.
Well, that's the thing, is like they did win and they're still not hosting. So they're going to keep pooping out these factory made adorable youths. Also, you can just tell in 2 years, this kid's going to look like he's 40. That's going to be fun. It's a defect or something. Anyway, the factory keeps making these kids that win Junior Eurovision, and they should stop. Just stop. I listened to the song. It was okay. I don't know that it was quite on the level of some of these other ones they've had, but they're going to win anyway. So congratulations to France. Let's run down who they're going to be beating.
Wait, before we move on, I just want to make sure I heard you right. Did you just tell France to stop making kids?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking.
Okay.
Quit it. It's France. Just start making them at age 28 and already disaffected and full of ennui.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Born with a cigarette in their mouth.
Yeah. Bag of onions.
Yeah.
Bag of onions.
Well, this kid I think is from Breton. So I mean, he's already got the crepe. Ooh. And
Sure.
I feel like all of the stereotypes that people have of France, a lot of those are actually just Breton, like the striped shirts and
with a bag of onions and a cigarette.
That's Breton.
I just want to point out for the listeners at home that when Sam said with a crepe, she sort of gestured toward her head as though he was wearing it as a hat.
Isn't that what you do?
Yeah, I thought that was implied. All right, let's see. Malta is sending King Ramses the Scarab
His name is Ramirez Scabaras, I think. My Maltese is not good. I think Scabaras is the pronunciation, but I could absolutely wrong. Maltese listeners, let us know. Call me out. Sila Chechnya, Chechna. Little Star, I think, is what it translates to. It's the first Junior Eurovision song completely in Maltese. We've had songs that are bilingual before, but this is the first one that's monolingual Maltese. I think it's actually about his adoption journey. He was born outside of Malta and was adopted as a young kid. And he's singing about his experience, which is very, very cool. So he was selected at time of recording. He was selected yesterday. At the Maltese Junior National Final. At the same time, there's also a national final in the Netherlands. We'll talk more about the Netherlands and their grown-ups later on this episode. But for the kids, they had a national final yesterday, and the group Stay Tuned won with the incredibly, incredibly incisive and imaginatively named song Music.
Oh, I've heard of Music.
It makes the people come together.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a four-part group.
Sam, is Maltese a real language?
Yeah, very much so. It looks crazy. They have a crossed H, which we don't. But it's a Semitic language.
H has a cross. That's how it starts out.
They have another one.
Two crosses on their H?
Yeah. Take a little.
I knew I liked this country.
Yeah, it's so Maltese is actually a Semitic language. It's more closely related to Arabic and Hebrew, but it's got a lot of influences from English and Italian, like specifically Sicilian Italian. But it's the only Semitic language written in the Roman alphabet.
Huh.
So, like, for example, like to say good evening in Maltese, you say Leila Taiba, which in Hebrew you would say Laila Tov. So you can see kind of the relationship there. But at the same time, to say good morning, say bonjour. So you see a lot of the sort of Roman Romance language influence in there. So it's a really cool language. when I'm listening to it, I can't make heads or tails. When I'm reading it, I can't make heads or tails. But every once in a while, you hear a word that kind of comes through, like song canzonetta. I'm like, okay, I get the Italian. But no, Maltese is wild.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So Netherlands is doing music about music. Italy is doing a pigiama party.
Pigiama party. Put on pigiama the pigiamas. Party.
Yes, Simone Grande has been selected. He's, I think, the winner of The Voice Kids in Italy.
Simon Large.
I forget that. Yeah, I know. First off, his name is Simon Large. Second off, can't believe we got a boy singing about a pajama party. Can't wait. Can't wait to honestly watch him win.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Within Italy, we have Little San Marino. We knew that they were coming back. They announced during a music festival there that it's going to be a group called Idols SM, a four-part girl group with the song Come Noi, or Like Us. The song was written by the group Miodio, which, if you know your Eurovision history, they represented San Marino in their debut Eurovision entry with the song Complice. Unfortunately, they came in dead last, but the song was underrated and really, really quite good.
So the group is called Idols SM.
Yes, remember, this is Junior Eurovision.
Well, that's why I'm confused.
San Marino. Yeah. San Marino.
Are we trying to hop on the K-pop craze?
Yeah,
is that what this is? Is that what this is about?
I guess so.
I fear for the future, the children. Yeah.
of shall San Marino.
Shall we move to Estonia?
They got every San Marinese child in one group. That, and you know what?
All four.
They rounded them up and were like, "How'd you like to be a K-pop band?" And they said, "No, thank you." Oh. And then Imodium, the group that wrote this other song,
Imodium,
were like, "Too bad." And now here we are. Anyway, Estonia. Estonia has sent Anna Bleets.
God. Anna Bleets.
Well, great. Now I'm not going to be able to.
Not today, but eventually. Yeah. At some point, I'll die.
So it will be called Tanavad. And yeah.
We knew Annabelle Atz was going. We haven't heard the song yet. Tanavad, which means streets, I believe. Written by Sven Lomas, who, again, if you know Eurovision history, he's created a bunch of Eurovision songs for the big show, including Rockefeller Street, Rendayad, if you know Urban Symphony, that was one of his joints. So I think it's one of the first times that he's written a song for kids, he said, but he said that Annabelle Atz's music and her voice is very mature, so he was willing to give this a try. So again, this
really
is
going to be a song for kids then or not?
We'll see.
Yeah, I'm excited to find out.
Yeah. Over in Portugal, we knew that the singer was going to be Victoria Nicole. We know her song is now going to be called Esperanza, which means hope, co-written by Victoria herself, as well as Barbara Tinoco. Remember Passepartout.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's going to be French. You know, if there was ever a time to mimic what the French do,
it's a junior.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, congrats to Portugal then.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So it looks like there's like a lot of crossover between, you know, songwriters or singers from Eurovision and Junior this year. Like the French song that we know was co-written by a singer named Malo, who came in third place at the French national final in 2018, I want to say. So yeah, he came in third place to Madame Monsieur. But I mean, again, it's well-known French well-known grown-up singers and songwriters writing for the kids. So hopefully that means the quality will be good this year.
I mean, you can say it. You can wish it.
Hopefully. I'm putting this out into the ether. Anyway, and by the time you hear this episode, Albania will have selected their singer, Poland will have selected their singer, and literally as we are recording, Ukraine's national final for Junior is ongoing. So if I get a little alert while we're recording, I'll let you guys know if we have any breaking news. But you'll have three more names by the time we record next.
Mm-hmm. Danny, what did you call that? Was it our term for the Ukrainian junior?
Oh, Yuki Juninats?
Yeah, that's it.
Yuki Juni Nats. There we go.
Yuki Juni Nats.
Good luck to everyone.
At Ukraine Junior Nationals is too time consuming.
Yeah, fair enough. Yuki Juni Nats. Good luck to everyone competing at Yuki Juni Nats.
It should be good. Who will be the next Kvitka?
Nothing could be the next Kvitka. Absolute star. All right. In big kid news, the senior version of Junior Eurovision, Sini Juni Eurovision.
All the players.
Yeah. Greece is doing a thing. They're doing a national final for the first time since, I don't know, Sam, when was it?
Well, I mean, they've done national finals somewhat recently, but this is the first time that they're doing an open national final since like 2003. So like open selection, send in your song instead of just the network getting in touch with record labels and saying, hey, if you know somebody who's interested, you know, send us a song. This time it's open. If you've got a song and you are Greek, send it in. It's the first time they've done something like this in like 20 years. So cool. Very excited about that. I mean, I think a lot of people kind of missed Greek national finals. They used to come up with some really cool quality stuff, even when it was the more exclusive national finals. So, you know what? The more national final songs, the better. It means another entry for the OGAE second chance contest next year. I'm all for it. I'm happy. But unfortunately, the national final gods giveth and they taketh away. I find it ironic that right after we were extolling the virtues of the Czech national final in our last episode, they've announced that they are dropping ESCZ for next
ESCZ.
Year.
ESCZ. Yeah, you know what? I appreciate the presence of the national final, but it has just kind of been staged poorly the last two times.
Yeah.
If they want to... They want to take a break to do a national final,
I
think.
It's not
maybe.
A good production.
It's not a good production, but the songs were solid.
I mean, the songs are solid, but it's like, and by staging, I mean almost purely at the expense of the artists. Yeah. Like, you can tell with all of them, the sound, I don't know, was it just like the earpieces were bad? Like the piping, the balance, the levels? I feel like they were... None of them were really set up for success, even this last year. So
it wasn't in a great format. I really liked it when they had the sort of studio quality, almost music video quality versions that you could vote on instead of just the club version. But according to the delegation, focusing on an internal selection will allow them to kind of pool their resources more and really kind of invest in their artists that they select and really kind of take the time to hone it and come up with a really polished product. And we've known before that the Czechs don't necessarily have the biggest budget when it comes to Eurovision. So this, you know, we're sad to see the national final go, but if that means that they can afford more fireworks, sure.
Yeah. Is the assumption too that they have somebody in mind already?
Maybe. Or maybe somebody's approached them. I mean, they've done well enough in Eurovision over the last couple of years, with the exception, of course, of coming in 11th at this year's semifinal.
Robbed.
Maybe. They really were. For many reasons. But they, maybe an artist locally is saying, hey, this is an avenue for me. So who knows what discussions are going on behind the scenes.
You know,
I feel like we've seen that in other countries too, though, where they typically have a national final, then some artist comes in and they're like, oh, we got to do this guy.
I mean, that kind of happened with Slovenia, with Raven, you know, where they had this, you know, EMA for a couple of years that people loved, and then Joker out, and then Raven is like, hey, we want to do it. It's like, yeah, we love you. Sure, go for it. So.
The ESCZs just felt cheap, if I'm being honest. They weren't good.
Yeah.
And
a tiny venue for a national venue.
And that's fine. I mean, Ireland did theirs in a TV studio, and I think it came across okay. Not amazing, better than this, I think. But like a couple of years ago, so the year that they picked We Are Domi, there was sort of a national final, but there wasn't like a broadcast. They just put up the songs, they put up videos of the performances, and you could watch them. And those looked fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
It sounds like they're not even doing that. They're just going to pick somebody and and do that, which is, I don't know. They've been relatively successful recently, but historically they have not been a particularly strong country at the contest. So I feel like retooling is an entirely reasonable way for them to go, especially when DZ, I think, has not been well received really at all.
Yeah. Which is a shame because I think the music's great. But again, I give credit to a delegation for stepping back and saying, all right, what works, what doesn't, especially when a delegation doesn't have a massive, massive pool of financial resources at their disposal. You know, you pivot, you learn, and you optimize what you got. So, you know, we'll see what happens this year and we'll see what happens next year. But either way, I'm excited to see what they have in their sleeve. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In other adult junior Eurovision news, we've got a little bit of news. There has been a lot of hemming and hawing about whether or not the Netherlands will participate next year. They will. But supposedly there's been sort of they were kind of given a deadline to make a decision. And they've been given an extension on said deadline. They now have until like November to decide whether or not they're going. They are. We haven't really talked about it much. And we've talked a little bit about the youth stuff. I don't need to get into that anymore. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they're not dropping out.
Yeah, but then again, we also have our Eric is Wrong t-shirts available for sale on our Redbubble. So who knows?
We'll put on a big sale if mm-hmm. if I'm wrong about this. No, I don't think they're not going to drop out.
I hope not. They have confirmed that they're in for Junior Eurovision 2025, at least.
They're not dropping out. if the Big Five were to expand to like a Big Six or Seven, the Netherlands would be in it. They're a big part of this system. They're going to be there.
Do you think the Dutch would get in over the Swedes?
That's why I said six or seven, because like Netherlands, Sweden, it financially, like they're a big part of it. So
I'm actually really curious now, like who outside of the big five, who are the biggest contributors?
Yeah.
Hmm. But yeah, that's probably up there.
I would say those two.
Maybe Norway.
Sweden.
Yeah.
Norway.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of the Netherlands and stuff that went totally fine, let's talk about 10 years ago. Oh, my God.
10 years ago.
10 years ago. Back when I was just a wee Eurovision baby and Danny hadn't.
Really, and I didn't care.
He was, yeah.
It was a good year.
Yeah. It was a... Yeah,
it was a great year. We didn't have Danny to deal with.
Yeah,
yeah. We're going to talk about Calm After the Storm. This is the Common Linnets. This is the song that, were it not for Conchita Wurst and all of that, really could have potentially. I don't know.
I think undoubtedly.
This,
perhaps and that's was, just us looking back on it, but
pretty long given, odds not, going yes. in.
Sana would have given them a run for their money, but yeah.
Yeah. Undo my sad, God. Control Z my sad. I'd love it. where do we want to start with this? I love doing these deep dives on specific songs. Second place, got a whole lot of points, but not quite enough. And what a song, Sam, Eric, how is song formed?
Well, when two singers tolerate each other just enough, they get into a studio and they create a band that actually puts together a really fantastic album. And then one of the singers decides to leave after that album. And then another singer comes in to replace him
from South Carolina. I'll note.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Common Linnets, basically known as Ilse de Lange and Waylon. Just Waylon. Just goes by Waylon. He named himself after Waylon Jennings, but Waylon. two well-known singers in the Dutch scene. And they decided to come together to create a country concept album after a shared love of Americana and bluesy sounds that come from, you know, the American South. And they ended up taking it almost to the top of Eurovision. Eric, would you say that this song could arguably be your Eurovision origin story?
Yes, I would, Sam. I remember, so at Sam's old place, you've all been there. she had the Eurovision intro party, and my first one of those was 2014. And this was the song that really hooked me. I'd heard a bunch of pop songs. You know, there was like, I remember the first, because we went in like semifinal order. So the first song was Not Alone by Aram MP3.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. So this is an Imagine Dragons ripoff sort of a thing. You know, I heard all of these different things that are like, oh, okay. So these are just kind of, I see what's going on here. And then I heard this, and it just was like an explosion of like, oh, this can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
I really wasn't expecting something like this. What it reminded me of at the time, and still does, but the first thing that came to mind to me was there's an album called Raising Sand by Robert Plant and Alison Krauss.
Oh, yeah.
That is phenomenal. The way their voices mesh is just so good. Robert Plant is British. So,
yes.
You know, there's that. But Alison has the voice of an angel, obviously. And just this subtle, gorgeous, just perfectly executed, mm-hmm. country tinged thing, and that was the moment where, again, I was like, well, Eurovision isn't just, you know, a bunch of random pop that's okay, and oh my god, it blew me away. It's still probably my top two or three Eurovision songs of all time, and I just love it. It was a literal game changer for me.
Was there something in the air sort of in the mid 2010s regarding this kind of throwback to really, really basic American roots music? Because I remember this is within a year or two of Foreverly coming out. If you recall the collab between Norah Jones and Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day. They did an entire album that was nothing but Everly Brothers covers, and it's fantastic. Was this just a thing at this time? Like, was there a trend? Was there, I don't know, a think piece that got everyone to be like, you know what, I want to do a little duo act like this too?
No, I've never even heard about this album, and I'm wondering how it passed me by. And Eric is looking slightly incredulous. What? Eric always looks slightly incredulous.
Thanks.
Eric's always got a look on his face like,
yeah, I've got that resting who farted face.
it's a unique sound for sure, but I feel like well below the surface of pop music, there were sort of a lot of these legacy acts that were sort of getting into this idea of re-exploring or reopening this idea. You know, the vibes of 1940s and 1950s country, like very early country at this time. And I'm like, was there just a thing in the air, or is this just a, I don't know, an alignment of the stars that yielded a bunch of coincidental pairings?
Well, I mean, Mumford and Sons.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there was an uptick in.
God, I forget about it just because it's like complete.
Lumineers, that kind of.
Yeah. Just because that style of music, that style of pop folk has completely been abandoned at this point. But I forget that. I lived through it. I was in college at this time. That was the hottest kind of alternative pop song sound that you could really be doing, that folk sound. So
this isn't like that stomp and holler sort of.
No. But this is just the next step, you know.
Even though
moving away from the studio, moving away from keyboards.
But I think it should be noted that, so looking at the ecosystem of Eurovision in 2014, Calm After the Storm wasn't even the only sort of country folk Americana kissed song.
Yes,
in that group.
Because we had Malta. Hunter of Stars.
Hunter of Stars from Switzerland, Sebalter, the one who everybody in that room had a crush on. Oh, come on. A quadrilingual, fiddle-playing, incredibly attractive lawyer. Like, seriously.
A lawyer? He's a lawyer?
Yeah, Sebastian Pellissi.
Just like Danny from Australia.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, no. Everybody had a crush on Sebalter. Like, seriously. But yeah, that was actually written as he was road tripping or like bus tripping through the United States and was kind of inspired by that. And Firelight from Malta with Coming Home, where, you know,
oh, that's good
Richard too. Edwards was playing the Appalachian Mountain dulcimer. And it would again,
as that, you do.
That stomp and holler, Mumford and Sons or Mumford and siblings in this case, because there were, you know, three of the McAuliffe siblings on stage.
Sam, I don't know how to break this to you. Those weren't his sons.
Mumford and Associates.
Well, Mumford and the siblings-in-law of is it Carrie Mulligan?
Yeah, like, he's married to Carrie Mulligan. Yep, yeah,
good right. for him.
Yeah,
he's glowed up. And he's still making great music. Anyway, yeah, that's I think that was just sort of like the next step beyond folk, as folk pop, as indie folk was sort of fading from the zeitgeist. I think a lot of people were just looking into sort of pure country, pure Americana country, as the next step. So I think this fits into that story of the trend.
Yeah, and I remember during that party that we had at my old apartment, we were thinking to ourselves as we're watching this, you know, this group of Americans, my gosh, we all love this song. Will Europe take to it as well? Like, I think that ended up winning the party that night. Conchita was up there, but like, Calm After the Storm absolutely stormed it. But I think people left the party thinking, we love this. Europe's not going to get it.
Yep.
And how wrong we were. That was the video was very, very simple. You know, the black and white, like slowly billowing hair in the wind and yeah. moody shots. It's like, how is this going to translate? How are people going to be engaged by it? And then we got the staging. Then we got to Copenhagen, that incredible arena in the middle of nowhere. And we got that staging. Of, again, two people on stage, band in the far background, with the close camera angles, the steady cam kind of circling around, like looking at each other in the eyes, and then the camera goes behind the person, and then you're looking at the eye work. The camera angles and the eye choreography on that were just, it was magic. And it took something that was so simple. It took simplicity, added simplicity, and made it magic. None of us had ever seen anything like that before.
Simplicity really works though sometimes.
Yeah.
And you think about like Amor pela Joie is just as simple as it gets and yet works. I think one of the things too that's kind of interesting in looking at this and thinking about this as sort of an Americana song, it really kind of goes back to the original roots of just being like American folk. And I think folk music tends to not similar across multiple borders, but there's something it does it in a way that felt a lot more approachable than the other country themed songs. Like you can listen to, like anybody can listen to this and like sort of get it. It's not aggressively genre as much as other songs would be. And there's you know, we talk about authenticity, like it feels very authentic. It feels very intimate.
Oh yeah.
In such a way. Like it feels good watching it, kind of as Danny would say. Like you connect with them the way they connect with each other. They I think this is one of the best stagings really in that regard.
Definitely benefited a bit, I think, from both of these folks being fairly established and seasoned performers that you could just plug them in and they would know what, you know, they know what to do with a camera and that sort of thing, because that really was a huge part of it. I rewatched it just before we started recording. And my God, it is a magical.
It is. I'd say part of the genius of the staging is that they didn't gild the lily, and that it really emphasizes them, the performers. Yeah, and no this is pyro. a song. Yes. this is a song that's all about harmonies. And both of them are not only very good at it, but their producers and their choreographers and their stagers, whatever term we want to get it, did not belabor the point and allowed them a staging that lets them focus on those harmonies. There's one thing that I hate. It's a studio version that has fantastic vocals, and then we get to the stage, and we gotta sing. So thank God we didn't have that. Thank God we didn't have them on the big hamster wheel. Yeah. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. Oh, and they sounded really good together live as well. They emoted a bit more live, and it still worked. Another thing I love about this performance is its use of color. Or lack of color, I guess, because it's very, very black and white. Almost entirely, like the lead guitarist, when it goes into that little guitar solo, his guitar is black and white. And like the drums are black and white. The thing that's not is Waylon's guitar.
Is black and white. Eric, why didn't you? Come on. Come on.
Listen, I'd say I'm hungover, but I'm not. It just fit it so well. And Sam, have the Dutch been using the same folks for staging for the last decade? Do we know that?
Looking at stage design and things like that, a name that tends to come up a lot is a gentleman by the name of Hans Pannekoeke. I don't know if his last name actually means pancake or if I'm just really hungry right now.
It better.
I hope so. if you're looking like the history of Dutch last names, it's actually really interesting that when like the king made people use last names, often people would just kind of troll. Anyway, that's a question for probably another podcast altogether. Anyway, but looking at some of the projects that he's been involved in, either as artistic director or stage director, Calm After the Storm seemed to have been the first one that I can find, but he also worked with the Netherlands for Slow Down. He worked with the Swiss for Stones in 2018. Uh-huh. He also was the artistic director for Outlaw in E minor, which we'll talk about later. And A Matter of Time. He was a stage director for Belgium that year. He worked on Arcade. He worked on Birth of a New Age. Worked on The Wrong Place for Belgium. So like in the Benelux countries, he seems to be pretty well established.
Anywhere, he'll do it all.
But then again, he also helped out with Do It For Your Lover. So, you know,
oh well,
take that where you will.
Well, there was nothing that could be done. Like, that's not his fault. Arcade and Birth of a New Age are the ones I was thinking about in particular.
Yeah. But the fact that he helped out with Slow Down and Outlaw in him, I think that sort of trinity of Dutch country kissed songs.
I think about like the intimacy of Arcade that took it all the way to the top. And then I think about the use of color in Birth of a New Age, which was so brilliant. No public points. Jesus. Anyway.
But you also saw like that same kind of intimacy and emotional in The Wrong Place with Belgium.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the color and the spectacle with Because of You. So like, I could see the through lines there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So cool. Hans Pannekoeke.
Good job, him. Handy Pancake. You are. Quick, we could break Sam. Handy Pancake.
No, I wish I had a nickname as cool as Handy Pancake.
Handy Pancake. All right. Anyway. So enough about Hanky Panky. So you mentioned the Trinity, the not especially holy Trinity, that this there was a trend here with country music that from the Netherlands for another few years. Although it didn't necessarily start with Calm After the Storm.
We'd had other country-esque songs at Eurovision before. You can argue that Rollo and King for Denmark in 2001 was a little bit kind of bluegrassy. There was certainly that vibe to it, that harmonica. It had a little bit of that kind of pop bluegrass vibe. Germany in 2006 sent a song called No, No, Never by the band literally called Texas Lightning.
Love
that
it.
Was a pastiche almost of country. It was sweet, sure. And it was earnest, but they laid it on thick.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It's what you expect from Texas Lightning.
Who, interestingly enough, lead singer, born in Australia. Go figure.
That's right, actually. They like country down there, too.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. And just ask Keith Urban.
Also, I just have to point out, in Norway, if you want to call something crazy, it's Texas.
Oh, yeah. Totally Texas. And we'll talk about Norway in a little bit. 2011, you can argue that Sione's Friends coming home had that sort of folksy, not quite like twangy country, but that kind of folksy Americana kind of vibe. Sure. Bonnie Tyler for the UK in 2013. Believe in Me was literally taken from her country album, Rocks and Honey, which she would not stop talking about. Rocks and Honey, my new album, Rocks and Honey. Couldn't escape it. But yeah, very, very, very country influenced. So we had country music at Eurovision before, but for some odd reason, the Netherlands had three songs in relatively quick succession that really played on either country, folk, Americana, bluegrass in different ways, and all three made the final.
Yep.
It's hard to tell, though, whether this was really indicative of the Dutch music scene or if it was just the delegation trying to capture lightning in a bottle. These songs weren't selected by national finals. These were all internal selections.
I looked into this a little bit, and I don't think it was a somewhat unfortunately. I was hoping to discover like, oh, there was a big country music boom in the Netherlands. There really wasn't. I think that this is the result of Ilse being a pretty well-established star in the Netherlands already.
Mm-hmm.
Just choosing to go in this direction, and she dabbled in it a little bit previously. She'd done a lot of pop, but had done a little bit of like country and folk type stuff, and then having it be a big hit, and then the subsequent ones, I think, are just trying to, like you said, Sam, trying to capture that lightning in a bottle again.
Mm-hmm.
There was no country boom. There is a country music scene in the Netherlands, but it's not significant.
It's not like you can go to like your local bar in, you know, Appledorn and find a honky tonk.
Yeah,
you know?
there's no Cowboy Jacks in Buick Sloot or whatever. There's the Cars Jeans Stadium, which sounds like a country venue, but it's usually not. I think when you need jeans for your cars, Cars Jeans. Yeah. So that was kind of disappointing. I was really hoping that like I would have discovered some interesting things there or something like that. I will say, though, that Sam, you mentioned it at the top of this discussion, the Common Linnets album that came out, amazing.
Excellent. Really, it's spectacular. Really, really if you like Home After the Storm and you want more of that, check out both of their albums.
Yep.
They're really quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dawa Bob. Dawa Bob, slow down. And our old pal Waylon, who's not our pal, but you know, he did Outlaw in E minor, and everybody's got a little Outlaw in E minor, as it turns out. And
okay, we make this joke all the time. Is the song actually in E minor?
There's no way.
I thought somebody said it was.
It's gotta be in a major key, surely.
I think it's in a major key, yeah.
Anyway, I can't believe that there are many different strains of country, and they cannot all be good. And Waylon really did show the truth in that to us. This was my first Eurovision, actually being involved in Eurovision, actually paying attention and giving a damn. And when this song came on at Sam's Eurovision party, I believe I gave it like 1.5 out of 10. This is like dirtbag country. This is like the kind of country you would hear over here, and I mean that derogatory.
well, the reason it's
Goody Needle.
The reason for that is that it basically is the sort of country you hear here, and that's because it was the lead songwriter on this.
Oh, don't say it's like Kenny Chesney.
No, it's not. But it's somebody
Brad Paisley. No.
So
Toby Keith.
Well, here's the thing. His name is he's got a great name. It's Jim Beavers. I don't even need to make a joke.
The guy from Supernatural?
Yeah. But here's the thing. You know that terrible song Red Solo Cup by Toby Keith?
Oh god, yeah. No.
He wrote that.
No.
He wrote songs for Gary Allen, Dierks Bentley, Tim McGraw, Dierks Bentley again, whoops. Luke Bryan, Chris Stapleton, who is, he's great. He can write his own songs. So I don't know what he was doing there. He wrote a song for Hootie and the Blowfish.
Excuse me? Apparently,
yeah, that track.
All right.
Yeah, a recent song from Darius Rucker's post-country era, Hootie and the Blowfish. You know, the stuff that nobody listens to. But this guy is a very established... Jim Beavers, again, his name is Jim Beavers. He wrote Outlaw in E Minor and along with Waylon and Ilya Toshinsky, just in case this wasn't quite European.
A touch of the man when Russia comes back, I'd love to hear him do Outlaw in E Minor. Wouldn't it be great getting a like a country song from Russia? What would be the most unexpected country you expect this kind of song to come from? Because honestly, I might have said the Netherlands before the Netherlands said
Moldova.
I don't know that Moldova is capable of surprising me.
We've learned to expect the unexpected there.
I am still reeling from the knowledge that there is one degree of separation between Red Solo Cup and Outlaw in them. I am staggered that I didn't know that until today.
But he,
I am pissed off at myself that I didn't know that until today.
Well, I mean,
it explains so damn much.
I remember at the contest, and Waylon was like doing interviews and stuff, and he talked about how he went to the U.S. and looked for American country music producers to kind of inspire his album.
To ruin and they all Europe said no well.
Until Red Solo Cup died.
I mean,
bring the infection over.
I listened to his solo album some time ago, and it, like he gets away from the Common Linnet stuff. Like it's a little bit more softer, folksier, and his stuff is more like blues and kind of rock influenced country. Mm. A lot of like really kind of dirty, rugged sort of themes and like hard drinking and stuff like that. And it's like, okay, that's kind of what he's into. He's into the rugged Clint Eastwood type country music. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, it should be noted, like we talk about country music, it's obviously not one single monolithic genre. There are, you know, facets and shades that, you know, the same, you know, we say country music and that could mean Calm After the Storm. That could mean, you know, Outlaw Anthem. It could mean, you know, Shania Twain's That Don't Impress Me Much. It could mean like early Taylor Swift. It's a very wide category. We can't paint it all with the same brush.
It can mean Red Solo Cup.
It can mean freaking Red Solo Cup.
Jim Beavers.
Jimmy the Beav. Yeah.
Password is Beavers.
Anyway.
The title of this episode should be Hundreds of Beavers, like the movie.
It's Beavers all the way.
Oh, I got to see that still.
It looks so good.
It looks awesome. Yeah. Movie podcast. Have there been any other like really, really good country songs at Eurovision? I mean, what have we had since? We had Bob Hope.
We had Estonian country. Estonia. I feel like that's one where it's like everyone was making fun of it because it was from Estonia.
It seemed like that was almost, I don't know, this is going to sound rude, a little more inauthentic, I guess, like almost like a parody of country.
A little Western country cosplay.
Yeah,
it's the ghost of the guy up in the mountains yelling yee-haw sort of a thing.
Or the dude
go ahead,
screaming.
Sam, take a big swig of coffee and then I'll say Beavers again.
Yeah. Oh, great. Now my brain is going to the... wide enough or big enough or wide enough the dude screaming in the mountains.
Screaming cowboys, yeah.
Yeah.
Just Google screaming cowboy song, you'll find it.
You'll know. I mean, it's kind of tapered down a little bit. We've had definitely songs that are folk influenced. Iceland 2022 would be a really good example of Sistur Mithakanisol. If you that's
they play that on planes now.
It's so good.
No, I'm serious. On Iceland Air, you get on a plane, like there's a good chance you hear that song.
Yes.
It's good boarding music, yeah.
It's good boarding music.
It is.
It's good music.
It's good music in general.
Genre unto itself.
Yeah, oh, what do you think of this song? Oh, it's great for boarding an airplane.
No, I
it's no, there's a Bjork, specific... like
boarding an airplane,
perhaps. Boarding. Oh, we're so stupid. I love us. No, I mean, there's definitely been folk and country inspired. Like, music has no borders and things can shift and things can. Could you almost say that what we call country music, you know, Moldova would put Trenelețul in that, in their version of country music? It's just our version of the local folk. Yeah, I don't know.
The focal. Yeah.
I think it should also be noted that we've had a lot of close calls. And looking at the list of close calls that I was able to kind of generate in my head, I think we have reason to say that the Netherlands is not the heart of country at Eurovision. It's Norway. I don't know how the crossover happened, but since I've been paying attention to national finals, which is probably around 2010, 2011, I was able to come up with a veritable playlist of country, Western, folk, bluegrass, Americana songs plucked from Norway's Melody Grand Prix. If you go back, 2011, there was a song called Alt du Vilha by Siguba. 2012, there was a holy trinity of Plumbo's Ola Nordman. Yeah, Plumbo. You Break It, You Own It by Rudy Mintevic. And The Canoes, it seemed like a good idea at the time. The Canoes, it should be said, being fronted by the dude from the Spin Doctors.
What?
Yeah. What? Yes.
No.
Yes. I kid no. you not. I thought he
moved to Oregon and opened a pot farm.
I guess he's got a cabin somewhere outside of Oslo and started up a band called The Canoes and submitted a song called It Seemed Like a Good Idea at the Time.
Possibly one of the worst live acts I've ever seen, by the way. Spin Doctors. Yeah.
That's they didn't just play Two Princes, you know, 10 times over again?
Well, the thing is, you know, you open with Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, then you play a bunch of stuff nobody cares about, and then you're waiting an hour for Two Princes, and no one should wait an hour for... Anyway, what were you saying, Sam?
Anyway, 2013, there was a song called...
Politicizing this. What? If you elect me, you'll never wait an hour for Two Princes. You're in like fact, Brian there will Coop be three princes.
Silverman show. You just have an iPod.
A prince in every pot and another prince in every garage.
Yay.
Oh, we're off the rails now.
Yep. But yeah, 2013, Sweet and Heavy by the Lucky Lips. 2014, Sing by Oda and Wolf. 2015, guys, Engodstekt Pizza by Staceman and Laz.
You didn't mention that one. I was going to lose my mind.
Of course I was going to mention. I'm going that in chronological damn order.
Bananas.
One of Danny's favorites, if we fast forward a little bit to 2021, Blime Me Pagorn by Tuvea.
Can we call that country? I suppose we have to.
I mean, pastiche, certainly.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God. I mean, if there's a crowing rooster in the background, then I guess we gotta.
It, you know, it the song doesn't that mean, like, come down with me to the farm? Like,
it's come down to my farm, and I talked with my buddy Ethan Bjelland about this, and he said Ethan, something about, or like to an acquaintance, and he was like, yeah, the lyrics are all about, like, come on down to my farm, we'll, like, we'll put in a lip of snooze and drink our moonshine.
I definitely won't kill you.
I know. Apparently it is just like it's purposefully like dirtbag country, but like also look at these guys.
That song was insane. I wish they'd
also just like obviously want to get laid. Like it's so I love this.
Oh, God.
But we had one this year as well. Not like the dirtbag country, but more like the sweet kind of common Linetsi kind of country with Dag Erik Oxfolden on Fagermo, Judge Tenderly of Me.
That one was all right.
It was, but it was in that same kind of vein as the sort of sweet.
It was very Linetsi.
Country ballad.
Yeah.
So is the Netherlands the heart of Americana at Eurovision? I'm going to say no. it's Norway. They just never send it.
I don't know. I feel like there's just one guy in the selection committee that really loves it. I don't know that if they keep rejecting it, if they do things like pick ticks over it, I don't know that. I don't know. You know what I think is the heart of Americana at Eurovision? It's us.
Aww. So wait, real quick on Norway, though. They have a new head of delegation? Or is it just the head of press?
I'm not sure. Is Stig Carlson being...
Stig Carlson dropped out.
All right, so we'll see. We'll see what the lineup for the 2025 MGP brings, I suppose.
Yeah, I'd be kind of curious if the shift in leadership might result in them actually setting a country song at some point.
I don't know. I mean, but then again, does it matter what the
not necessarily
it matters? It matters what people vote for.
Yeah, but they can finesse that.
I mean, yeah, with the Nordic countries,
pizza. Yeah, yeah, right.
A lot of these Nordic national finals recently feel. I'm not saying they're fixed. They're not. What I'm saying is that they're kind of telegraphed for who they think is going to win, or what they expect to win potentially. I mean, Eurovision's has a little bit of that as well in terms of like running orders and things. But I talked about this with Melfest with Marcus and Flarkus, that like every week they were the last week of the heats, and like the songs don't get released until they're happening. So we had a month of heats that we all knew did not matter at all. And like that sucks.
Yeah.
Melfest is supposed to be this big thing. And it just seems like, oh, okay, well, these guys they won the OGA thing. They're going again. It's going to be them. Yeah. Like, I'll just wait till the final. And you don't want that necessarily. Norway, go internal and send Alison Krauss and Robert Plant. Please and thank you. I'm sure one of them has a Norwegian great, great aunt or something.
Yeah, they've got a cottage out near Trondheim or something.
Yes.
Hey, if it worked for the dude, almost worked for the dude. It didn't really work for the dude from the canoes. From the spin doctors.
Spin doctors.
Yeah.
Oh, man, right. I'm looking forward to hating that.
It wasn't that great.
Yeah, I know. I haven't listened to it, but I know.
Anyway. Is you listening at home around the world, is there a country song that we miss that you liked? Let us know. Find us at social media, 12pointsUSA. Email us directly, 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com. And are there other songs that you want us to kind of do a deep dive on like this? Let us know. Like, what are some of the ones that you think we can expand into an hour-long conversation? Just, you know how to reach us, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com, 12pointsUSA on basically every social media out there. Good chat, guys. Anything else that we left on the table that we want to discuss?
Yeah, Two Princes is the worst song of the 90s.
And thus endeth the lesson. Until next time, everybody. I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Hank Pancake.
And I've been Daddy.
And America.
Stop listening now.
Pancakes now.
Ooh, pancakes.
Handy pancake.
Handy pancakes.
Whip them up some nice panna cookin. No egg yolk and those at all. Just egg white and syrup.